Well, good morning. As I said earlier, you've joined us at the conclusion of a very powerful message series that we're calling Dangerous Church. And at first you start thinking about that, like, why should the church be dangerous? And what I mean by this entire message series is that the church today has lost a lot of influence in the world. It really has. It's become a place where, you know, it's more of a social club. It's more of a place that we kind of gather. And over the last couple of weeks, we've kind of looked at why the church is not as powerful, or the body of Christ, as powerful as it should be. And there's a lot of crazy things when you start looking at it. First week, we talked about truth and how we've allowed sometimes in the body of Christ now, or in the church, we've bought into some lies. And rather than stand up on God's word and his truth and say, man, this is what his word says, we've bought into the lie. We've bought into the deception that we kind of let the enemy kind of come into the camp. And since he's come in, we bought into a lie that we've got to work out our salvation. We bought into the lie that we're not good enough. We bought into the lie that I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to struggle with this addiction. I'm always going to have this hurt. I'm always going to have this pain. I'm always going to have it. And so we discovered, man, in that first week, what did we discover? You cover a lie with what? With the truth. We take the truth of God's word and what he says, and we cover a lie. And that's the thing that we have to do as believers, is be able to take God's word and begin to put it in and study God's word a little bit. You know, I said that when we were praying, but you know, there's such a valuable truth in the fact that we check our head in sometimes at the door when we walk into a church building. We check it in. Well, that's what the pastor said, so I'll just go ahead and believe it. You know, I challenge every one of you, anytime I preach a message, you will not hurt my feelings if you go home and study it out for yourself. You will not hurt my feelings at all. Matter of fact, I want to make you sometimes so uncomfortable that you want to go home and say, man, I'm going to prove him wrong. I want you to do that. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we've been deceived. We've got to go back to truth. The second thing, we talked about this last week. We talked about love and what real love looks like. And the reason why the church body, the body of Christ, is so hurt and so wounded is because we have a bunch of people who come into church and think, man, we put all of our, what we've done is changed our camouflage, haven't we? We've changed our camouflage. So when we were out in the world, we try to act like everything was okay. But yeah, we was all jacked up. We were jacked up people. And then we come to church, we receive Jesus Christ and our Savior, and what we do is we change our camouflage. Now, we're still broken, we're still jacked up, we're still messed up. We still have all of this stuff going on inside our life, but we just learn to camouflage it better. And so you got people that come into church that are broken, that are wounded, that are hurting, and we can't understand why people in the body of Christ are not being delivered, set free, finding forgiveness, finding health in their life. That's because it's hard to minister. It's hard to help people from a wounded spirit, a wounded heart. And we talked about last week, we discovered a huge truth that hurt people, and forgiven people, forgive people. And so wherever you're at in your walk, sometimes it's okay, man, that we got to air out our dirty laundry. We got to come out. Nowhere in the Bible did it say that, look, we're going to talk about this here in a moment. I almost came down there. I really did almost came down there. I said, some of y'all have been at the service, so you know that I've been kind of all over the place. The idea here is it's okay to be broken. It's okay to be broken. It's okay not to be perfect. It's okay to be jacked up. It's okay to come in here with addictions and problems and in your marriage and all this other stuff. That's okay. This is the place that it's supposed to be. But it's not okay to stay like that, because we got a daddy that loves us. And that's why the church doesn't walk in true love. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, and we started going through a checklist of this is what the Bible says real love looks like. And we hashed it out, didn't we? We talked about pride, that true love is not prideful, it's not arrogant, it's not puffed up, it's not prideful. And we started measuring our love that we think we have against the love of what the Father says, that this is the kind of life that we should live. And man, it's so awesome to see. I mean, the first Sunday, if you were not here, we had 14 people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's freedom. That's finding freedom. That's that first step of freedom. And then we found last Sunday, we had this place was filled with people on their knees, man, giving up stuff, just saying, you know what? I've dealt with this long enough. I'm sick of it. I'm opening it up. I'm giving it to Daddy. I'm letting Daddy take care of this now. And then we filled that emptiness, that place to that hurt, that habit, that hang up, that place that it resided in our hearts. We turned it over to the Holy Spirit and asked the Holy Spirit to fill. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. This morning, we're going to conclude this series, as we've been talking about it all throughout the whole message series, and we keep pointing towards this thing that most churches say it's a thing, this it, and that is the Holy Spirit. And we've been dealing with it, and it's interesting. Can we, well, I'm not going to go there yet. I wanted to, but not yet. Okay. So I kind of defined dangerous church as this, as an adjective that's full of danger or risk, causing danger, perilous, risky, hazardous, unsafe. We want church to be safe. We want church to be comfortable. We want church to meet my specific need, and when it doesn't, we're going to go find a church that does. We don't want an uncomfortable church, a place where maybe God begins to unpack some stuff in our heart and in our life that need to be dealt with. And so we want that comfortable church. And what God has been speaking to us out this last few weeks is that it's time for us to be dangerous. And I've been telling you guys, I've been looking for a fight. You know, we played the Rocky theme song a couple of those times. And so I got to asking this question is why, we've been asking this whole question, why isn't the church dangerous? And it's because we've kicked out a lot of things. We don't know what real love looks like. We don't know what real healing looks like. And then there's this. See, because we have thousands, if not millions, listen to me, church, this morning, of people who say that they're Christians. And some of you are going to go, amen this, I think. These Christians that are followers of Christ. That's what a Christian is. He's a follower of Christ, Jesus. Yet, look nothing like him. And I'm not saying about being perfect or, you know, walking around with Jesus slippers on or sandals, Steve, praise God, or tie-dye shirts. That's not what I'm referring to. Praise God. Maybe. That could be, who knows. But yet still one of the greatest examples in our church is that where you don't see that anymore. That it's so hard to define, it's so hard to determine in the body of Christ anymore. Listen here. It's so hard to determine a believer from an unbeliever if you put them side by side in their life anymore. How can we become a dangerous church when we look just like unbelievers? And it's not something to chastise. I'm not trying to chastise you, bring condemnation or guilt or anything like that. Stick with me. Don't check out on me this morning. I want to show you, I want to introduce you to someone that we talk about a lot, but we think it's weird to talk about him because we don't talk about him anymore in the church. And that's the Holy Spirit. We've made the Holy Spirit weird by rejecting him in our church and saying, you know what? We don't need the Holy Spirit in the church anymore. So we'll talk about Jesus. We'll talk about God. We'll talk about connecting with, the world and being a seeker-friendly church and being happy and doing all this stuff. But mention the Holy Spirit and everybody thinks the same thing. It's fixing to get weird in this place. Like, oh, snap, I got first-time guests that are here today. They're going, oh, my gosh, what have you dragged me into, Nikki, because you're getting baptized. I know. Praise God. It's okay. Nothing weird's going to happen. But the interesting thing is, think about this for a moment. Jesus Christ, and I'm not even going to get there yet. I'll get it. It doesn't matter. So you're by the way, if you want to know what passage of Scripture we're going to look at, I want you to go to John chapter 14 and Acts Chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. So John 14, Acts chapter 1, we'll get to there in a minute. But I want you to think about something here, and we'll probably talk about it more, is that Jesus is fixing to go away, all right? He gathers the disciples up, and he tells them, I'm out of here. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the disciples had watched this guy heal the sick, raise Lazarus, who was dead, walk on water. They've seen this dude, man, do some crazy stuff. Now he's telling them, I'm gone. I'm out. I'm leaving. No longer going to be here. But he tells him, he said, look, chill out. Don't freak out. I'm going to send one better than me. He tells the disciples, look, I got to go. Because if I go, someone better is coming after me. Now put yourself in the place of the disciples. They have watched this guy do all of this crazy stuff. He's gone against the religious traditions of the time. He's laid hands on people. He spit in his hand at one point and rubbed mud on a man who was blind's eyes. And even he said, I don't know how to explain it. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And this is the dude that did it for me. And then this Jesus, goes to the disciples and says, I'm gone. I'm leaving. He says, but don't freak out, man, because I'm sending someone better. Matter of fact, and we're going to read it here in a second, he said this. He said, I must go away so that he can come. And when he does come, check this out. Now remember, think like a disciple. You'll do greater things than even I did. Holy cow. Now, as a disciple, you've seen all of this stuff that Jesus did. And here's the question. This is what, are we a dangerous church? Are we seeing the things happen today's church, in today's church, that Jesus promised? Okay. This is even, okay, listen. All right, Jesus' Great Commission. What was the Great Commission? Do what? Go and make disciples. Okay, so how many agree that go make disciples is the Great Commission? Go right, it's okay. Participation. Yes. Praise God. All right? Right on. Cool. All right, so some of you do, some of you don't. Some of you are just like, I'm not raising my hand because you might call me and bring me up front. Probably, okay? All right, but check it out. That's not the Great Commission. That's part of it. You've been raised up in church too, haven't you? I can tell. Because this is what Jesus told the disciples. What did he tell them? He said, freely you've been given, freely give. Freely you receive, freely give. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. That is the commission. It's right here. I didn't make it up. I promise you. This is what Jesus said. But we'll preach the gospel. That's true. We're supposed to preach the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has come. He paid our debt. But it doesn't end there. Forgiveness, listen to me, church, forgiveness is just the entry point to living the life that God has for you. That's the epic life. The epic life is filled with this guy named Holy Spirit. He's the third part of the Trinity. He is the powerhouse of the Trinity, if I can say that. And he says, man, that's the Great Commission. That's the role that we get to play in our life. I haven't even paused scripture yet. I'm sorry. Let's go to the Bible. Hey, there's a good idea. All right. So look here. Jesus is leaving the earth and he tells this to the disciples. John 14, 12 through 17. Take a look here. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, this is one of the last big pep talks Jesus is having with the disciples. And he says, greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that stopped me for a moment. That really stopped me for a moment because I'm thinking, oh, snap, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was the savior of the new covenant. We're new covenant people, right? How many of y'all understand? We're new covenant people, right? So that commandment thing will kind of throw you off, right? Well, if you go back one chapter, uno mas, one chapter, he says, this is my commandment to you, that you love one another. So he says, tells them to love one another, and then he goes over here and he starts telling the disciples what his commandment's going to look like, that we should walk and live and obey that commandment to walk in love. And we talked about that last week. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, comforter. There's so many different words for Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you sometimes while the 12 disciples were alive. Forever. And then we get a name for him, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Now watch this. This will jack up some Baptist theology, okay? And if you're Baptist here today, I'm not trying to do it on purpose, all right? He's talking to the disciples. Watch what he says. But you know him, for he dwells with you. With you. So when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit with us. The Bible says we can't come to salvation unless the Spirit of the Lord draweth us to him. So the Spirit of God has to be a part of that and draws us to Jesus, right? But it doesn't, we end it right there at the church. Okay, that's good. I feel comfortable with that. Let's not move on. And he says, and will be in you. This is where the church misses it because we think it's weird. It ain't weird. Jesus said this would happen, right? So number one on your notes, if you're following your notes, look at this. The Holy Spirit is our helper, given to us by Jesus. Matter of fact, I didn't have time to write through this, but you can go back and look at this passage and study this passage out. The Bible says it's Jesus that baptized us in the Holy Spirit. So we receive this Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that here in a second, just a little bit more. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. Imagine a church for a moment, guys, for just a moment. Imagine a church the way the Holy Spirit designed it. Because see, the Bible says, man, when the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, everything begins to change. So imagine for a moment, just a moment, a church that operates the way Jesus intended for it to operate in the power and the authority of a believer. Imagine that for a moment. Not weird, not crazy, not where you got people going, you know, and you're like, whoa, you're going to get the courtesy drops. How many of y'all seen the courtesy drops before? You know what that is? Where somebody lays your hand on you, fall down on the ground. You're like, what the heck just happened? God's not weird. We've made him weird. Because either we haven't taught the truth of God's word properly, or we simply don't know the truth and we kicked it out. So one of the two problems. What we want to do at Epic Life is help us to live and discover the life we were created. And that life is inside with the Holy Spirit in our life, walking in power, walking in the authority. Being a believer in Jesus Christ is more than just saying, I'm on the church membership roll. It's about exercising the authority that you have. It's a kingdom authority. It's the rights that you have as a church. And somewhere we've kicked out and threw the baby out with the bathwater. And say, well, it's too weird, so we're just not going to do it because you watch TBN too much and you see some guy on there that just abused the authority of the scriptures and abused the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying everybody on TBN does that, but we've seen it. We've seen the abuse. And so we kick out the entire thing, but that's not what it's intended for. God's got a plan and a purpose. When we receive the Holy Spirit, just like the last 2 weeks, many of you guys have received and heard God begin for the first time, begin to speak to you. And you felt that welling up inside you where the Holy Spirit began to speak. And it wasn't weird. It was just like, whoa, this is the way my life should be. Imagine a life with this type of authority. Imagine a church. You're the church. It's not Epic Life, the building. You are the church, guys. Imagine a church operating in its full authority as a believer under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Think about this for a minute. No more doubting whether you're doing the right thing. No more doubting. There's no doubt when you're being led by the Holy Spirit and you're trusting the Holy Spirit, there's no more doubt whether or not you're doing the right thing in your life. No more fear of decisions that have to be made because you're leaning on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your life. And you don't move until Holy Spirit speaks to you and you hear his voice. Jesus said this, look, if you are a believer, the Bible says this, my sheep hear my voice and a stranger's voice they'll not follow. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's no fear of decisions that have to be made. There's no more wondering. There's no more wondering of whether or not this is a God thing or not a God thing, or should I be doing this? There's no more. All that goes out the door. And you begin to walk as the believer is called to walk because the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing your heart and your life. Jesus, the Son of God, tells the disciples, look, I'm going away, but I'm sending you my Spirit to live in you, and he will lead you. Acts chapter 1, 4, and 5. He tells them, look, don't go anywhere. Don't go try to do ministry on your own. Because the disciples just seen the greatest thing of all. They've watched Jesus for the last 3 years, been a part of a powerful ministry, and Jesus tells them, don't do this on your own. He says, wait in Jerusalem. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you've heard from me. There's a confirmation is what that is. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And some people believe that was anywhere between 7 and 21 days. Somewhere in that time frame is how long the disciples had to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to happen. Many days from now. So he's going to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. The church has become so predictable today. The church is so predictable. Even, and I have to admit this, even as a pastor, I can tell you almost what song we play, the reaction of what the people are going to do. I can tell you by my message how people are going to react to the message, because the church has become so predictable, because we're not, can you imagine for a moment, Jesus was so unpredictable. Why? Because the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lived in him, and we talked about this in our very first week. Remember what we talked about in our very first week? Jesus did nothing outside of what Daddy told him to do. He did nothing outside of what Daddy told him to do. And so the Spirit, man, would just move. Boom, 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 boom. But we're so predictable in church today. We're so predictable. We know what it's going to be like. We know what the music's going to sound like. We know, all right, Pastor Mike's going to preach for about 45 minutes or so, sometimes longer. I know. I apologize. Not today. And we're going to be out. Okay, when the band walks up there, we know we're fixing to close. We're going to pray, and we're going to be dismissed. We're so predictable. The Holy Spirit's unpredictable. One of the things I'm learning, and it's a shame that I've had to wait this long, but now it's happening, but one of the things I'm learning is just to, even while I preach, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just to be sensitive to him. There are times, and you guys have seen in the last few weeks, where I have a message. I have all my message written out. It's all right here. Okay, I'm not like just kind of making stuff up as I go. And then I'll be reading stuff, and the Holy Spirit just speaks. Unpredictability. That God begins to work in people's lives. There's prophecies that we begin to see happening in our church. And some of you guys, man, that's pretty heavy, Mike. You were here the last couple of weeks, and you've seen someone get up and give a prophecy. Or where we were praying, we were closing, we were ministering to folks, and God spoke a word to someone. And I didn't know who it was, and I spoke it. That's biblical stuff. A healthy church should have prophecies inside their church. Prophecies are not weird. The Bible says they're to comfort, they're to edify, and they're to exhort. How many wouldn't like a little bit of that in our life? A little bit of comfort, a little bit of exhortation, a little bit of encouragement. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So there's times probably in your own personal life where you've looked at someone and there was a word of knowledge that came through you that you should have told someone to encourage them, maybe to bring them comfort. That's a gift of prophecy. It's not weird. We've made it weird. The church has made it weird because we kicked the Holy Spirit out. You were created to house the Holy Spirit, that he may be the guide to you in this world as a new believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 and 19, it says this. It says, but the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. See, when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become one spirit with Jesus. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but the one who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. I'm not trying to bring condemnation. I'll talk about that here in just a second. Do you not know, this is what I want you to get, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. This is where I kind of go on a tangent for just a second. So if you're a first-time guest, forgive me, okay? This is going to be for, if you're a believer, take this in. If you're not a believer, you can check out for just a moment because I'm going to talk to believers for a second. This is where grace has been perverted. Grace says that, and it's true, grace says that it's an unearned gift. Salvation is an unearned gift. And what we have done is kind of perverted it in a sense. Because we say, well, I'm under grace, so I can continue to live the lifestyle that I lived before I knew Jesus. And he tells us to flee this junk. Flee this junk. Why? Because it breaks our communication barrier with Holy Spirit and with our life. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we allow sin to contaminate that life, it's simple. The book of James, which is after the death of Christ, says, look, if you got sin in your life, confess it. that you might be whole, that you might be healed. So church people, I'm talking to church people now, the world is tired of seeing a church that says one thing but does another. Okay, I know I'm preaching good, so you know, y'all don't shout me down while I'm doing this, all right? The world is tired of it. Why do you think there's no power, no authority operating in the church? Because we think we've perverted grace and says, I receive grace over here and I receive God's unforgiveness or forgiveness for everything. He pays the price for us. And then I walk right back over here. I walk out the door. And that Friday night, I'm doing the same thing I did before. Well, Mike, I've got to, you know, what has happened is, and I demonstrated this before. Should I call the three guys up again? Should I? All right, praise God. We'll do it. I think I was going to do it anyways. Yep. It's actually right down here after my second point, but I'll go ahead and do it. So Corey, come back up. Frank, come back up. And Brian, come on back up here. So let me demonstrate. Some of y'all missed this, and I want to demonstrate this one more time. Don't act like it's a job, dude. Really? Right there on front, in the front, right there. Be like, oh, crazy. I know. It takes them a while to get up, they said. Praise God. All right. So what we talked about was, now this is for everybody. This is going to blow your socks off, because some of y'all, this is the first time you've ever seen this. All right, so our bodies, our lives as a human, whatever, however you want to look at it, is made up of a three-part being, if I might. We're made in the same image. Matter of fact, Genesis says that God made us in the image of our Father, and he's a three-part being. He's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Will everybody agree with that? Shake your head. Okay, praise God. All right, so our bodies as humans are also made up as a three-part being. We have the body, we have the soul, and we have the spirit. Get out of the way for a minute. All right? So before you start going to church and you get all this churchy stuff on you, you are a body, a soul, with a dead spirit. The Bible says we're dead in our sins and our trespasses. We're dead. Our spirit man is gone, non-existent. Not because of maybe necessarily this soul's problem, but because of the problem of Adam and Eve. Because of what Adam and Eve did, they caused everybody born of that seed to be separated from God. That's death, spiritual death. We have no spirit man, okay? So what happens is, well, let me get to the soul here. The body's decaying, okay? It's like losing its hair, shrinking, back's getting bent over. Okay, this is what happens right here, all right? But see, what happens here is an argument begins to happen. Somehow, God comes in through the Holy Spirit. Come here for a minute. And an argument begins to happen between the spirit man that's beginning to come alive, because the Spirit of God, you have to be drawn by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God begins to have an argument with the soul. Now, the soul guy, as you can see, he's very healthy. Okay? That's because he's been running things for the last 40 years. And so he's running. He's the boss. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your intellect, your thoughts, your process. It makes who you are who you are. The spirit guy begins to kind of start bowing up. He's been doing CrossFit for a little bit. You know, he thinks he's pretty strong. So they begin to have this argument. And it goes from our heart to our soul. 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 Heart, soul, heart, soul, heart, soul. And somewhere in the midst of that argument, the spirit wins. He gets to win. But here's what happens to us as believers. So he becomes born again. Jesus, the Spirit of God comes around him and renews this guy. And the Bible says in Corinthians, it says that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've been made alive. Galatians 2:20, it says that I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life that I live in the flesh or soul, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave his life up for me as a ransom. Galatians 2:20, you can look that up on your own. That'd be okay. All right, so this guy's in charge. All right? Now you come to church and you got like this zeal happen to you, man, and Spirit of God's kind of rising up. He's like, okay, man, for a little bit, this guy kind of gets a little bit quieter, starts losing a little weight, gets a little skinnier, all right? But the problem is we try to begin to live our lives, listen to me, church, we try to live this life through this guy right here. And we can't understand why we're struggling. We can't understand why there's such a struggle, because we're trying to live a spirit-filled life through the flesh, through the soul man. It will never, ever work. The Bible says, man, that these two butt heads constantly. Matter of fact, Paul said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what happens, though, when you begin to say, okay, I understand this baptism of the Holy Spirit now. It is not a weird thing. What it means is you get the empowerment, and I'm fixing to show you that in a minute. You get the empowerment, the dunamis. Say dunamis. It means dynamite. You get this dynamite power inside you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not a weird thing. You simply step out and go, just as you got saved and received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you go, Holy Spirit, fill me. I want everything you have for me. And by faith, you receive it. Simple. So this guy gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. He gets empowered to begin to live and control these two characters right here. And then as you get discipled, as you learn, as you repent of junk, that God begins, this Holy Spirit begins to reveal things in this soul guy that says, hey, this is not working out for us. You need to get rid of that. So soul man goes, okay, I'm going to get rid of that. And now more of him's in control. More of the spirit guy's in control now. And he said, well, you know, you got this habit you've been kind of hiding from everybody. I think it's time that you bring that to the light. So then he gets rid of that, and the Holy Spirit man comes up and gets a little bit closer. And before you know it, as he's doing this, this is the process, it's not a bad word, of discipleship. Amen. It's how we grow up as believers. It's what makes us a baby in Christ, brand new, born-again child of God, to a mature believer, effective in the kingdom of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Any questions? Praise God. Y'all go sit down. Give it up for him. That wasn't in there, but all right. That takes me to point number two. Go ahead and skip all the way to point number two, fellas. The Holy Spirit empowers the believer. He empowers us to live the life that God called us to live. You cannot live the Christian walk in the flesh. You can't. You're going to struggle with it. You know why? Because the flesh guy, depending on your age, some of you are older, some of you are younger, has been running things all of its life. It's been running things all of its life. See, salvation is just the door to get in. It's the free grace that God says you're welcomed here. This is not about a salvation issue. Please don't misunderstand me this morning. It's not about whether you are or are not saved. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and you've prayed that prayer and you received him into your heart and said, no longer am I the Lord, your Lord of my life. I receive you, Jesus Christ, and the free gift that you give to me, which is the free gift of eternal life. You can't earn it. You don't get to earn it. Praise God. It's all about Jesus. That's the doorway of going in. Matter of fact, Jesus said, and he said, he comes as and knocks on what? On the door. If anyone will open the door up to me, I will come in and eat with them. So now he's there. He is the Lord of your life. But the problem is now discipleship, there's still junk and funk in our life that we've dealt with and we've been dealing with for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And the Holy Spirit, man, is long. When we receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit begins to unpack that stuff in our life and reveal it to us so that we can be the men and women that God has called us to be. Talk to somebody just this morning. He said, I love about this church is that no perfect people are allowed. And I stopped him real quick and I said, you know what? They're not allowed to stay here either. And I didn't mean that to say no perfect people were allowed. I'm saying that we're not allowed to stay in our junk. We shouldn't want the junk. We should want the things of God more. And that's what happens in our life when you pursue the things of the Spirit. When you pursue that Spirit, man, more, and you say, all right, I'm pursuing that, and I'm not going to pursue what the soul wants. You turn your back on that. You say, I'm going to pursue the things that God has for me. One of that is inviting the Holy Spirit to rule and reign your life. When you do that, you begin to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is this healthy for me? Is this good for me? I'm going to use you guys as an example. We're getting ready to move, right? We're getting ready to move our house. We're selling our house. It makes it so much easier to go Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, am I supposed to sell my house? It's not weird. Is that weird? Did you guys do that? What did they tell you? Do it, right? It's not weird at all. He's our helper. He's our counselor, our helper, whether it's in our business, whether it's at our school with our students, whether it's in music, whether it's in preaching, he is our helper. He's not an it, a thing, or whatchamacallit. He's the Holy Spirit. And that's what I mean by the church doesn't operate like that anymore. We want a good, feel-good message, whisper in my ear, tickle me, give me a good book to read, and get out of my face. God says, no, man, I've got more for you. So much more. So much more. The Holy Spirit empowers us. All right, I know I've missed a whole ton of scriptures here because I'm trying to get through this, praise God. Let's go to Acts 1:8. I know that's next up on the list, right? But look at this. This is Jesus telling, this is the next verse after he tells them to stay in Jerusalem. He tells them this. This is a commandment that Jesus gives to the disciples. But you shall receive power. That word power is that word dynamite. Explosive, dunamis, dynamite power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see, when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you don't have to make a witness happen. You don't have to be a witness. You're going to be a witness. Great example. The other day, man, I'm eating Taco Bell. Yes, I know that's not paleo. Sorry. All right. It definitely wasn't paleo. I got that like Boss. Have you guys seen that thing? That crunchy Boss. Anyways, that's another story. That sucker's good, man. I can eat two or three of them things and then go to CrossFit the next day and throw up. Anyhow, so I'm there and Holy Spirit speaks to me. I was going there because I was hungry. Okay? I was hungry. I'd been up at the church all day working on, apparently we had a water issue at our church where the baptism overflowed. So decided to go to Taco Bell, and as I'm at Taco Bell, Holy Spirit speaks to me, he says, pay for the people behind you. I said, okay. So I got up there, and I didn't know how much they were going to have because they hadn't ordered yet. So I just paid. I'm not trying to brag on me. Listen to me. I'm trying to brag on Jesus, all right? Listen. So I pay for it, and I tell the guy, don't tell him that I did this. So I just give them some money, and I step away. I paid for mine, and I step away, and I'm just up there, and I'm ready to get my food. I'm like, come on, get the food done. She walks up to the counter. She's got like, I don't know, four or five kids with her, and she's up there, and you can see her going through her purse, and I'm kind of watching, you know, just a little bit. I just want to see what's going to happen. You know, it's okay to look. Praise God, all right? And then I want to see. Daddy, I want to see. Sometimes we don't get to see what God's doing. So I get to watch. And so he walks up, and I can see he's got this money in his hand that I just gave him. I'm watching her, and so they're ordering. I'm like, all right, cool. And so she goes, gets ready, gets in her purse, and he goes, no, it's been covered. And she immediately goes, right. I'm like, really? Golly. But the cool thing was, man, she run up to me and just gave me a hug and said, thank you so much. I needed that. Now, I don't know what kind of day she had. None of us do. But man, when she walked out, there was grin and just joy over her. I didn't tell her about Jesus. But I showed her. And maybe, man, praise God, that she'll pass that on to someone else. You see, I don't have to be a preacher out in the world. I just got to love the world. But you can't love the world inside the soul because the soul of man doesn't understand that kind of love. But God does. As we talked about last week, God is love. The Bible says we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Final passage I want to read about, man, is Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus was our perfect example of everything in life. Would you agree with that? We're supposed to look at Jesus and go, that's what we're supposed to live like, right? So in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, this is Peter. Peter got sent to the Gentiles to witness to the Gentiles who had never heard of the Holy Spirit. Before this point, the only people that got to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or even the gospel were of the Jews, were Israel's, the nation of Israel. And so Peter has a dream to go to this certain place, or that a couple guys were going to come to his house, call on him, pull him to this big ruler, this guy who was actually a leader of the Gentile nation. So he goes and he's preaching to them, and this is Peter's testimony to him about Jesus that we follow. He says, God anointed, consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength, ability, and power, how he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Now, let me take you back to what we read earlier. Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do greater works because the Spirit of God dwells within you. That is amazing. I'm not trying to change your theology this morning. I wish I could. But what I do want you to do, and I challenge you with this, church, this morning, is ask yourself, take this home. You have all my notes in that worship guide. Go study to show yourself approved. And when that light comes on, simply stand up or wherever you're at. You don't have to be at church. And just say, God, I want that empowerment. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fill me. Every morning, man, when I wake up before these feet hit the floor, I say, Holy Spirit, I want everything you have for me today. And sometimes that's good, sometimes not so much. God wants to work in you guys. You are the church. Be the church. Be dangerous. Walk in love. Walk in the truth of God's word. And above all things, walk in the power, the dunamis, the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. Quit living in the flesh, church people, because the world's sick of it. The world wants to see something real. They're tired of fake Christians. They're tired of the show. You can't do that on your own in your own soul. The soul man doesn't want to do it, but the Spirit of God will. We're getting ready to celebrate probably the greatest thing today. I am excited. I don't care if it's one person or 10 people. Where we get in that pool and people follow Jesus in obedience. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then follow him into baptism. And we already know I got to spend a lot of time with this young lady, and I'll probably talk a little bit more, but I've been just listening to her and watching God. I remember when she stepped up with several people and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it just knocked my socks off. It was so cool. And then to stand back, and many of you guys have been witnesses of that. You guys have been to watch too. I know because your relationships you have with this person. And you get to watch and see her go from just this little infant to now. I mean, she's like a teenager, and it only happened months ago. How she's so hungry, so passionate for the things of God. And I remember something. We were standing in here, and she was cleaning. She actually volunteered to be part of the cleaning team. Can I share that? Is that okay? And she's sitting over there, standing there, and I walk in, and she goes, man, I just don't think I've heard from God. And I said, close your eyes. Close your eyes. She closes her eyes. And she listens. And she opened them up again, and I said, did you hear anything? She said, no. And then we had our meeting Wednesday night. It was so cool. I love how Daddy works. Because we're not used to hearing his voice. We won't be able to recognize it. So she's in there talking about how God had been speaking to her over a decision that she had to make in her life, a very important decision. And I stopped her for a second. I said, wait, time out. What did you just say? She said, yes, I know. And the crazy thing about it is she hadn't even been baptized in water yet. And I can go to passage and show you where that's happened before too. Matter of fact, it's in the same passage in Acts where Peter's talking to the Gentiles. And they get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they get baptized. Listen, church, that's the adventure of our lives, man. Sometimes it's ugly. The epic life, the life in the Spirit of God, is sometimes ugly because Daddy comes in and he has to do that. Remember, we talked about it last week. We have to open up, do that open heart surgery. And he opens up and he reveals things to us that we simply don't want to look at because we stuffed it away for so long, we don't want to see it anymore. Pain of unforgiveness and regrets and addictions and hurts and habits and things that we've done to other people and other people have done to us, and we try to bury it. And then Daddy comes in and he starts opening this up and he starts bringing healing, and healing hurts. Healing hurts. It's not easy. But man, when you're open to it like a child, Jesus said, unless we have the faith of children, we can in no way inherit the kingdom of God. And so today we get to watch a little bit of that faith. Would you stand with me this morning? Nikki and BJ, you guys go ahead and be dismissed and go ahead and get changed. Let me pray for you, church. We're going to worship here in just a moment. And would you, during this time of worship, maybe you want to receive the Holy Spirit for the first time, you know something? I don't have to pray for you to do this. You can simply just ask, Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Just ask Holy Spirit to come into your life. Let him fill you. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for everything you have done in our lives. I thank you for the what you want to do in our life. Lord, we surrender today to be vessels of you, Holy Spirit, to be used of you at work, in our families. Lord, let us pray for people who are sick. Let us preach the gospel. Lord, freely we've received, Lord God, and freely let us give now, Father. So I pray for each person who steps out in faith this morning that says, I want that Holy Spirit in my life, and I receive him right now in Jesus' name. For some of you, you received the Holy Spirit a couple weeks ago, but maybe you just need to be filled up again. We leak. I talked about that in the first message. We're leaky people. We leak because life happens, and we begin to leak. Baptism isn't just one time. Matter of fact, you can go through the book of Acts and find out in Acts chapter 3 where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened, or 2, and then you go to Acts chapter 5. It's the same group of people, and they all receive the baptism a second time because we leak. Life happens. It gets in the way. We give out. We pray for people. We love on people. People hurt us. We got to put the Holy Spirit in action. Don't forget the Holy Spirit in your morning. Don't forget the Word. Don't forget Daddy. Definitely don't forget the Holy Spirit in your life. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just receive everything you have for us today. Would you say that to Daddy? Would you just say that? Father God, I receive everything you have for me today. In Jesus' name.